Inside COVID-19 from BizNews. Joining us now is Lucky Ntimani from the Taverners Association. Mr. Ntimani, how many members do you have? How many people do you represent?
The number is about 34,500 nationally in all 9 provinces across the country.
So you must have got a big shock last night when you saw the president announcing that there would be no more liquor sales.
We were extremely shocked, and especially given the fact that we were proactive in reaching out to government to try and have a conversation with them, because we understood the reports coming out around trauma cases increasing. So we wanted to sit down with government to try and find ways in which we can propose a solution that will look at preserving lives and also preserving livelihoods, as it were.
What did you suggest to them?
We wanted to look at an issue around consumer behavior, because that's what the problem is. We wanted to look at programs that will talk to responsible consumption of alcohol, but we felt that on our own, we cannot do this. We needed to be social partners together with government in order to deliver this. And also, we had good support from liquor manufacturers. I mean, Distell, Heineken, and MSAB were on board with this initiative that we're coming up with. But as it were, as it turned out, government didn't come back to us. The best way that it came back to us with was to announce that they are closing the entire industry.
34,500 taverners. Now, these are, just to get it absolutely correct, these are licensed establishments.
These are licensed establishments.
So it's presumably not just one-man shows.
No, it's not. Actually, we did some calculations and research work. Each tavern employs on average around 3 people. So if you then extrapolate that number to 34,500, then you see just over 100,000 people are going to be affected by this. And over and above the 200,000 livelihoods that are linked to the tavern owners themselves, adding 1 million, which is the entire value chain of the alcohol industry. So it's a big number.
How long are you anticipating that this ban will last for?
Based on how our government shocked us last night, it will not be wise to try and guess when this thing was going to last. It's very risky.
But Mr. Ntimani, people still want, as we've seen from cigarettes, they still want to have their alcohol. Are they going to find alternative supplies, i.e. illegal or unlicensed premises?
Actually, one thing that the government's decision managed to achieve yesterday was the promotion of the illicit alcohol trade. That is going to boom. And it's going to be run by people that have no regard to the law, that have no responsibility to any COVID-19 regulation, that are going to fuel, you know, other forms of criminality as a result of the proceeds that they'll get from this illicit trading. So it's a mess that was created last night.
But if we look at your 34,500 taverner members, surely they would be incentivized. They have to eat. So they might be incentivized to break the law and to open, but in a way that is not above board.
Alec, I have no confidence that the government is going to consider incentivizing the taverns for being closed. In the first instance of a lockdown, out of the 34,500 members, only 1,000 of them got some support using other means other than government. You know, so we have no confidence that government will come to the party this time around. And if you look at government agencies, their mandates are very clear. No support for liquor businesses. So our traders are in the lurch on their own. They're actually facing economic ruin. Half of them will not be able to open when the government does decide to bring back the sale of alcohol.
But my point is, if they've already got customers and they've already got supply chains, would they not go illegal themselves?
I would shudder to think that, because they know that the license for their survival is in the actual liquor license. And if they take a risk and lose that, they have no future whatsoever to talk about. But if they weather the storm, maybe there might be something for them. So I will actually not even advise them to try and go illegal.
The other side of the story is that the majority of South Africans are very unhappy about the impact of alcohol on gender-based violence, etc. How could you have addressed that, or how could you have worked together with government to ensure that that big festering sore in our society didn't run over?
Alec, it's actually interesting to note that 54% of our taverns are run by women who are bearing the brunt of the gender-based violence. So actually, taverns are best placed to be areas in which issues of gender-based violence can be better addressed, you know. And those were some of the options that we were putting on the table to government. It was part of the plan that we sent specifically as well to the presidency to say we want to look at three things: gender-based violence, responsible consumption of alcohol, and also COVID-19, to see how we can work together, you know, as liquor traders with government. So it's on top of our mind, the issue of gender-based violence. And as traders, liquor traders, we actually remain committed to being the voice against the scourge of gender-based violence in the country.
Now that's very interesting. Just say that percentage again that are owned, of taverns owned by women.
54%.
So it's more than half.
It's more than half.
And are there any ways that you could or would your members have actually ascribed to a view of saying only two drinks or only three drinks per person? Could that ever be enforced?
Yeah, it can be enforced. Our members are prepared to work with government in these unprecedented times. I mean, no one knows how to deal with the situation that we're in. And we remain committed to listening to the government's views on how best we can work together. But as we all know, they have not been willing to sit down with us and have a proper conversation or even have a conversation at all. So our members would be willing, actually, to consider such an option.
So what do you do now?
So we're consulting with our members on the ground on the way forward. We haven't finalized what that way would look like.
And I ask this because the taxi industry seems to have somehow managed to get its way.
And we know how they got that, right? It's a threat, it's violence in some instances, and we will not want to go that route. We still have confidence that government will want to sit down with us. So we will keep the doors open for them to come to us and engage with us so that we can find a solution. You know, the issue of alcohol abuse, we cannot postpone it to post-COVID. It's an issue that we have avoided as a country. It's an old-age problem. Now, I think it's about time now that we actually face it head-on. And closing the entire industry to achieve that is not the way to go.
Inside COVID-19 from BizNews.